Welcome to the Echo Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Justin Box.
Health. It's part of our how. Our why is heaven to earth, and the how part is how heaven to earth happens. We've got a large list about health. You can see that on the website or on the booklets up the back. If we don't have a how, then the why can't happen. So that's our model over there. You can take a photo or video or go and stand and ponder it later. But our model is why, how, what. The what is what we are in now. This is a what. We are in a what. This is not the how. It's not the why. This isn't an end to itself. This is a what. A what helps the how happen. And if the how happens, guess what, guys? The why is happening. So the health list is something we're passionate about. We're passionate about presence and influence and health. And we've felt the Lord on that we're going to highlight health between July and December 15th. Then we'll have a carol service, perhaps on the 22nd. And I'm just super excited that it involves so much. And it's not about physical healing, although we love that and believe that. P.S. Be healed in Jesus' name right now. Share your testimony with me at the end. If you're getting healed or will be healed in the next 50 minutes. It's a joke, 30 minutes, 40, whatever. But yeah, this health deal is our inner world, the hidden part of us, the part of us that no one sees. It's that immaterial part. It's the wrestle, it's the struggle, it's the processing. It's where the renewed mind takes place. It's where the fruits of the Spirit gets outworked. It's where the belief happens. It's the machine. It's this underlying working behind the scenes, like the duck that looks so graceful on the top of the water, but underneath shivers, those feet are moving fast. And we can look like a duck or a swan even on Sundays where we're just walking in. Bless you, brother. We're doing great today. How's your week? Fantastic. God is good. Amen. But P.S., can I have a look at your legs under the water? Some are actually just being dragged by the wind. They're not even pedaling anymore. But what the Lord's highlighting is that under stuff, iceberg stuff, is bigger than we think. Jesus said it, and he said, hey, love your neighbor, but the determining factor of your level of love for people is how you love yourself. Which is so encouraging. Challenging, but encouraging, because it takes the pressure off telling people about Jesus. Because guess what? When we learn to love ourselves, we just get to show up. And people get healed in tattoo parlors. Like last week. So good. Just prayed for someone right there in the tattoo shop. And he's just doing this one. And I'm like, what's going on? He went back to his station. And I said, what's going on? He goes, it stopped clicking. And just the Lord was all over him. And I'm just keeping connection there. And his auntie was in the ICU with a brain aneurysm. And we prayed together in the middle of all the tattoo stations. Some people are getting tweaked now. That's okay. But we're praying right there because Jesus loved being everywhere, not just in the church. And we prayed, and I got a message, I think it was the next day, that she'd been admitted or released, it's probably better, from the ICU guys. So that's just amazing. So no clicking shoulder and release, so good. But so that's real and possible, but that's not sustainable if we don't sort out our soul area of our body, soul, spirit. It's not actually possible to be sustained and to be passed on to the next generation, that level of influence, where we love the world without an agenda and we get to show up in the supernatural and kindness. We can't actually do that. That's sustainable, that's genuine, that's authentic, that's real, and that can be passed down to the next generation, that they walk in more than we ever could. That's not actually possible if we don't deal with this feet under the water stuff. So we've been addressing it. You'd be fully aware that there's five or six podcasts about emotional health, soul health, And it's not going weird into just it's all about our soul. No, no, it's in the context of who we are to Jesus, and our spirit has been made perfect and our soul is just catching up with who we truly are. But it's not demeaning our soul and just thinking it's about the physical and the spiritual, and we flick our soul off to the back wall and we never talk about it. And we wonder why we struggle. It's because you're actually being led by your soul because you've forgotten all about it. So we're passionate about managing that really well in the context of what Jesus thinks about us and who he says that we are. Is that okay? So he's all about fullness. Fullness is the plan, not partial. Can we go to that first scripture, Ephesians 3:19, just for a little bit of context, and we're going to dive in to today. Okay, and it's first scripture, Ephesians 3:19, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. It's amazing. So fullness is God's standard. Colossians 1:19, it's the next scripture, which we read before. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him. We'll go down to Psalm 23:1. We know this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in lack. So fullness is his standard, partial is not. That's encouraging. Often we can look at our life and look at partial. And yeah, we're in a process, but the reality of who he is and what his plan is for us is fullness. It is wholeness. We've been talking about health as a church and that wholeness is possible. Body, soul, and spirit. That alignment, that we're healthy, physically healthy, that our soul is managed well in the context of our spirit. Because we believe in the finished work of the cross, but we also believe in the renewed mind. It's not all just done, we don't care about anything. Yeah, it's all about the spirit. No. That the spirit is to lead the soul. And that's where we get peace. Because when three of those things are in alignment, when they're healthy and whole, man, life works, regardless of struggle and trials, because that'll always happen. You'll always be struggling. No, it's true. You'll always have something in your life that's a struggle. You'll never not have a trial. Yay! No, but it's just a reality. We have a destination mindset too much, that when I, and it's like life's just a trial filled with amazingness, and it's all just one big ball of amazingness, craziness, full-onness, hardness, but joy and excellentness and amazingness. Like it's one, can we agree that it's one big giant ball of greatness and crappiness? And our role is to encounter him, not from a cognitive way of thinking, because love surpasses knowledge. So our role is not to get to be so full with information and education and wisdom, and that's all true. But when it comes to encountering him and experiencing him in this thing we're calling life, which has everything in it all the time, with our feet madly flapping, what's it called? Is it flapping? Yeah, flapping's good. Under the surface, if we don't actually encounter him in it and experience him in it, then we've got no context for the fullness and the wholeness and navigating it all well. Does that make sense? So wholeness is a big deal. Just want to remind you again that when Jesus healed the 10 lepers, he said that they were physically healed. The word healed was physician, Greek word, physician, meaning physically healed. When the one came back to thank him, Jesus said, wow, amazing, your faith has made you whole. What's the word there? Healed was physician, the word whole was sozo, which means saved, whole, and delivered. Wholeness, fullness. This is the plan of God. Jesus actually made the point, because it was his plan, where were the other nine? Because wholeness and fullness was my plan for those other nine. Yeah? So that's the plan. I'm going to read Romans 15, 18 to 19, which is our verse for this two-week, two-part thing. But we've got to understand that the inner working and the outward demonstration of the gospel is no different. Fullness is the standard. So we're talking about the full gospel. Here's Paul at the end of Romans. Here we go. Don't read ahead. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me. Great. Integrous. Yet we can only give what we have. Awesome. Bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. Verse 19. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I fully presented the good news of Christ. So we're talking about the full gospel. We're talking about fullness. We're talking about wholeness. And the context is that if we only care about wholeness and fullness in health, we've actually missed the full gospel. Because he wants fullness and wholeness in our physical. He wants fullness and wholeness in our soul. And he wants, fullness and wholeness is already done in our spirit. But the soul's catching up, which is the renewed mind process. Make sense? So a spirit doesn't become weary. Our soul does. Our spirit doesn't become damaged because it's perfect. A damaged spirit can't connect with God. It doesn't get weary. It doesn't become damaged. It doesn't become weak. In the scriptures, didn't say the spirit can be weary and the flesh is weary. It said the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. What's the flesh? Not evil. The flesh is the soul, which is our emotions, our mind, our intellect, emotions, our memory, which triggers responses and feelings. Our soul, it's this thing that houses our past. So that's why we have such a big deal and a hard deal with this whole finished work. Our spirit is perfect because we're living in this triune nature being that who we are. And we're battling all this memory and past and hurt and wound. And we're navigating all of that because it's so real because it happened. So that is so real, but this is realer. I know. I love you, Daddy. But there's different levels of truth. So that's true, but that's a fact. It's not truth. Truth always trumps fact. I honestly believe that if we do not embrace all three elements of the full gospel, then wholeness is not an option. Okay. Can we go to partial gospel, full gospel slide? First one. Thanks. I know I'm jumping. All right, here we go. So we're talking about fullness, and I just want to say to you guys that there is another gospel. Galatians, I think it's 1, Paul made it clear. He said, hey guys, if you or angels preach another gospel, let them be eternally condemned. Yay. That's exciting, isn't it? That's full on. That's some of the strongest language in all of the Bible. So Paul, what's Paul doing? He's making a statement saying that there is a gospel and there is God's standard, and then there's a man's standard that looks at it from the soul and from experience that they've gone through. So their lens and context is soul-based, viewing the gospel. It's earth to heaven. It is a earth to heaven gospel because it's based on their experience and their view of God, not a heaven to earth gospel, which is the full picture, which doesn't make sense to our soul and our mind. That's why that can't lead. Our spirit's got to lead. That's why declarations are really important. I declare that this is who I am, and our soul will believe it. This is really important. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth. So good what you're doing today. So there is another gospel. Sounds weird saying that. But in the context of Paul saying, if you preach another gospel, yeah? Let's look at this. The partial gospel is the disciples and the apostles did miracles, signs, and wonders, and we cannot. That's a partial gospel. Millions believe it. And we don't dishonor because we're believing stuff that we need from them. Yeah? The full gospel is we all can. Next slide. The partial gospel is Jesus performed miracles only as God, so we cannot. The full gospel is Jesus performed miracles being fully God, but with the restrictions of a man, meaning we can do what he did and more. Which means that John 14, 12, that if you believe in me and have faith that I've been doing, you will do the works that I did and greater. It means Jesus is a liar. And we know he's not. Now, next, can we jump to the next lot of full gospel, full partial? It'll be after Acts 3. Thank you. The partial gospel believes we are sinners saved by grace. The full gospel believes we were sinners that were saved by grace. I'm going to read that again because this is the largest stumbling block in the church. The partial gospel believes we are sinners saved by grace. The full gospel believes we were sinners that were saved by grace. Next slide, please. The partial gospel believes we are still sinners. The full gospel believes we are saints. It's super challenging. I'm totally aware. And these two things, the miracles and the demonstration, the power of God, the kindness of God, the I'm talking, yes, I'm explaining what Jesus is like and what he's done in my life, but this is evidence that what I'm saying is true. Miracles, signs, wonders, miracles, prophecy, the voice of the Lord that no one else could have known but him. Like this gospel is, this is the gospel. What did Jesus say when he sent them out in Matthew 10? Go out preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. What's in the gospel of the kingdom? Everything. The gospel of salvation is in the gospel of the kingdom. It's the most important thing ever that people come to connect with Jesus and spend eternity with him. Amen. 100%, that's it. That they feel loved and seen and known by God. That's the heart. That's heaven to earth. That's our heart. But so often we reduce the gospel down to only words, and words are powerful. And when we preach the gospel with just words, his presence is on that and can touch lives and can transform. So hear what I'm saying. That can and does and should be done. And it's true. But what's more truer? Yes, I know. He said it wrong again. What's more true? It's more true that the full gospel includes everything and we can't separate it. So that's one side of the equation, the miraculous, which we are, buckle our seatbelts over the next few years. That is it. Massive. We're going after it. And then there's this whole other side, which is really determine what goes on the inside of us. It really does affect presence and health. It really does affect our up, and it really does affect our in. And it's this whole idea that we are sinners saved by grace. The problem, from my perspective, it's just wrong. So I'm gonna leave the miracles, yeah? And we're gonna just hit this second part. And we're gonna go after this for the next 10 minutes. Is that okay? Awesome. Embracing a partial gospel does not bring full freedom. And I believe this is the number one foundation for emotional health, managing our soul, the renewed mind, and transformation. It's embracing it all. Because fullness is his standard. Okay, can we go to Romans 12, 2? Actually, no. Go to Romans 3, 23, which is just before that. Can you give me a thumb if you've got it? Romans 3, 23. We've got 34 scriptures in there, guys. So they're doing a great job. But if you don't get this up, no, just kidding. I'm just kidding. So Romans 3:23, it might not, I'm just going to read it, and if it comes up, it comes up. It's fine, because you all know it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we quote that as Romans 3:23, full stop. Bang, you've fallen short. Glory of God, you need Jesus. It's true. It's a true statement. What's more true? It's more true that there's a comma there than a full stop. Oh. So let's go to, doesn't matter. I'm totally fine. No, I'm totally fine. It's awesome. Romans 3:24. And are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. So 24 is not separate to 23 because it's in the context of us reading it in the light of the cross, in the light of the resurrection, in the light of what he did, in the light of the finished work, in the light of how he sees us now. We're viewing it with all that done and we're reading that here going, okay, 23 is true, but it was more true when I didn't know him than when I did. Because I did fall short. It's true. But the full, yeah, this is good. The partial gospel is verse 23 only. The full gospel is both together, 23 and 24. So I'm going to read them all together because that's the context, because there's no full stop at the end of verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. It's massive. It's what we believe about this sinner-saint thing determines, affects your worship. It affects presence in your life. It affects feeling God. It affects hope he touches me today. Like, I used to think that, and it's a lie. Like, regardless of what you do and what you think, and it doesn't excuse bad behavior because we're in relationship. If I mess up at home, I clean it up, I apologize, and then forgiveness restores the standard. But he dealt with our sin, past, present, and future, and threw it in, east from the west. Caesar's holy and blameless. This is such a big deal, foundationally. It's the foundation for you reading the Bible. It's the lens you look through. You either read this as a saint, constantly needing forgiveness, or you read it, as a sinner, constantly needing forgiveness and a pure heart and clean me, God, and you quote David's prayer in the Old Testament. And say, create in me a pure heart. And it's like, that's not biblical prayer for a new covenant person. Because he already did give you a pure heart. Your soul's just catching up with it. That's why we need people around us that love Jesus and that call the gold out of you and remind you of how he sees you and what is for you. Do not forget his benefits. Wow. John 17, 22. How's this one? I have given, this is Jesus. This is the Lord's Prayer, P.S. Yeah, I'm going after it. Matthew 6, our Father art in heaven. That's not the Lord's Prayer. That's the disciples' model prayer. That's the believer's model prayer for us on how to pray. Because if you look at the context, Jesus, how should we pray? Great question, guys, and he answered. The Lord's Prayer is John 17, and I'm not having a crack. Yes, I am. But just because it's a footnote that was put in there by people, not a footnote, a heading, that's what we know. And all my mates, what's the Lord's Prayer? Oh, that's that Our Father thing. Yeah. It's not. John 17, 22, Jesus praying before the cross. He's putting it all out there. He's saying, I've manifested your name to them. I want the unity that we had in all of heaven in glory for eternal past to be in them. And he makes this crazy call. And we've got half the church saying that you fall short of the glory. This is what Jesus said. I have given them the glory that you gave me. That they may be one as we are one. The goal is unity. The goal is unity with people and with God. And it's impossible without full restoration back into the glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We carry presence. The only issue we have is not believing it. We had God move in weird way, amazing ways. There was gold dust on 30 people. I don't understand it. Do I want as much as I can get? Yes. Is it going to offend my mind sometimes? Yes. Like the coin in the fish's mouth. Wouldn't have done that. Wouldn't have spat in mud and rubbed mud all over a blind man's eyes when all he knew was people spitting on his face because he wasn't worth it. So I wouldn't have created some saliva in the mud and spat and let him hear me form that in my mouth because that's all he knew. So what was Jesus doing? He was restoring his sight and his soul. I've given them the glory that you gave me. That's why we can give peace away. We have glory. We carry it. It's not so we get the glory. We've already got it. But it's not to say, have a look at me. It's not pointing to me. No, no, no. It's like signs and wonders. They're not the deal. They're not the end to themselves. They point to a greater reality, which is Jesus. The glory that we carry points to a greater reality, Jesus. If the glory that we carry, and we've seen it all the time through the church, the glory gets so big because there's no communion with people and let in, see vulnerability, but we stay out here and the glory gets so big that we die. There's a lot going on, isn't there? You're with me though? All right, Jesus. This is going to be worth a podcast listen. All right, everyone take a deep breath. So good. Just breathed him in, didn't you? I mean, you breathed him in if you thought you did. So good. Anyway, all right, let's go. Romans 12, 2. We know this scripture. We know it really well. Help us not to become familiar. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We've been talking about that all day. So that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Sounds like the kingdom. So here we have the full gospel presented, which is the part of the full gospel is be transformed. And the second part of the gospel is to prove it. So you could write a little statement for your life. My life is about being transformed and then proving it to the world. Because the NIV says approve, meaning, that's good, or a nod, concur. Yes, I agree. But the true meaning there is in the New American Standard Translation, and it's prove, changes the game. Because approving the gospel, that's like, yeah, cool, I agree. And I'm over here, you guys do it. But it's like, no. The gospel, the full gospel is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's not transformation unto itself. So that you may prove. Be transformed so that. Paul's like, be transformed so that you can put the full gospel on display and try not to see this place full. Try not to live a life of signs, wonders, miracles and hearing the voice of the Lord and loving people without an agenda. I'm just messaging my friends back and forward at the moment and it's so awesome. My mate messaged me to pray for him. Just amazing. Prayed for him in Mordialloc, in front of the Commonwealth Bank. Prayed for his back and I manifested because glory's glory. And when glory touched flesh, sometimes there's issues. John fell down, though dead, in Revelation. So I prayed for him, and it went like that, and I was like, oh, that's not ideal. But he's like, what was that? And I'm like, that was God. And then he checked his back out, and he was healed. And doesn't know Jesus. Yeah, it's worth that, isn't it? So that's great. And then we've just been in a relationship, and that's awesome. And then he goes, can you pray for me? And I'm like, why are you asking me to pray? Why don't you pray yourself? And he goes, you got a better connection. And I'm like, yeah, okay. I'm not going to get weird and go, so do you. But he does. He hasn't fully activated the promise that was available for both of us. But doesn't mean he can't talk to God, and doesn't mean God doesn't hear, because Psalm says that he hears the cry of the brokenhearted. So if we get weird and go, God doesn't listen to the prayers of those who aren't in relationship with him, we're weird, and that's no good. But I get that you can fully activate the promise when you confess and believe. Amen? We're talking about the full gospel. We're not just running over here and be weird, but we're not going over there and we're like, this is safe, this is it, we all fall short, we're no good, hurry back, Jesus. That stinks. So anyway, we're just talking, and I'm like, and then he goes, we've got a good relationship. It's like, I talked to Jesus through Justin. This is him. If you're listening, mate, love ya. And he's good with that, and so am I. And I'm like, and then he goes, it's just a closeness thing. And I'm like, is that his idea or yours? He goes, he's happy, I'm happy, this is all cool. And I'm like, is this his idea or yours? And he's like, great point. And then I sent him a worship video, because he came once and said he had a coat hanger experience, meaning he felt like someone put a coat hanger and lifted him up. So he calls it the coat hanger effect. So we joke about it. He goes, how's the coat hanger going? I'm like, mate, all day, every day. That's not true. But I'm like, yeah, all the time. It's awesome. So this is happening. Be transformed. So when we're transformed, why? So that. What's the purpose of wholeness? Wholeness is not the purpose in itself, because it'll just continually, it's just a circle. But there's got to be a purpose. Why presence? Why health? And why influence? Because we want to see his kingdom come. We want to experience God. We don't want anything in the way of our connection and communion with God. And then we don't want anything in the way of us putting him on display. Does that make sense? So we're going to finish with Romans 6:10. I'm going to implore you, a Bible word, to read through this in a couple of translations during the week. It's honestly a 10-hour thing. Like, honestly. So we might do it in the school because we've got longer, maybe. We might even hit it in the start of next year in the school if we do it. All right, Romans 6, 1 to 10 in the Passion Translation. It's a great, great translation if you guys haven't read it. Have we got this one? Thank you so much. Okay, here we go. So we've looked at miracles and showing up and praying, and that's for all of us. And now we're just going to close with the inner stuff, the saint versus sinner, thinking that we're sinners saved by grace, but the reality is that Paul would have said sinners when he addressed the churches. Instead, he said to the saints at Ephesus. Yeah? You got some context? So we're finishing with this large slab, couple of points, and then we'll close, and that'll be amazing. All right, here we go. So what do we do then? Do we persist in sin so that God's kindness and grace will increase? Talking about where sin abounds, there grace abounds also. So verse 2, what a terrible thought. We have died to sin once and for all, as a dead man passes away from this life. So how could we live under sin's rule a moment longer? Or have you forgotten, that's a key word, have you forgotten that all of us who were immersed into union with Jesus, the Anointed One, were immersed into union with his death? Verse 4, sharing in his death by our baptism means that we were co-buried and entombed with him, so that when the Father's glory raised Christ from the dead, we were also raised with him. Full on. We have been co-resurrected with him. So co-buried, and we've been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Verse 5. Please don't let them in. Thanks, mate. Okay, I'm going to read that again. We have been co-resurrected with him so that we could be empowered to walk in the freshness of new life. Verse 5. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. Wow. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever depraved of its power? For we were co-crucified with him to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us, so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Tash, could you jump up? That'd be so amazing. Verse 7. Obviously, a dead person is incapable of sinning. Verse 8. And if we were co-crucified with the Anointed One, we know that we also share in the fullness of life. And we know that since the Anointed One has been raised from the dead to die no more, his resurrection life has vanquished death and its power over him is finished. Hang in there. For by his sacrifice, he died to sin's power once and for all, but now he lives continually for the Father's pleasure. Verse 11. So let it be the same with you. Since you are now joined with him, you must continually view yourselves as dead and unresponsive to sin's appeal while living daily for God's pleasure with union with Jesus and the Anointed One. Can we stand to our feet? Thank you, Lord. You're so good, God. Here's a key point to close. We must not mistake our self life, our soul life, with a sinful nature. That's where we get in trouble. We think that just because we've had experiences, I'm going to sneeze. It's gone. We think that just because we've had experiences which have memory, which then have emotions. So emotions attach themselves to memory, and memory is from an experience. So what we do is we bundle all that up and we say we still have a sinful nature, we're still a sinner saved by grace, and we go here and we live from the tail and we confess all day long, we're not the tail, we're the head. And it's like you can do that all day long, but if you don't believe it, they're words. We were co-crucified with Jesus. I didn't make this up. It's in the Bible, Romans 6. And often we just look at Romans 7, which is things I don't want to do, I do, da, 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 da. And it's all true, but I like to propose to you that that's in the context of Paul's former life. Because it's a contradiction. Romans 7 is a contradiction because it's wedged between Romans 6, which says we're dead to sin and alive to God, and a contradiction with Romans 8, which talks about all the newness of life and us being made one. And in verse 7:25, he says, who can rescue me from this wretched body? He said, thanks be to Jesus. So let's not get confused with this soul, this emotion, this memory, this experience that we've had. The enemy will say, that's evil. You've still got a sinful nature. You'll never be holy and blameless. But God said we were. We are now. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become an entirely new creation. All that is related to the old order has vanished. behold, everything is fresh and new. The root problem is us not properly understanding the reality of the current state of our spirit and not understanding the reality of the current state of our soul. Our spirit has been made perfect and our soul is catching up. Our soul is not evil and is in the process of being beautifully renewed.